I've been around the church for a while, as I think most of you have, and I've observed something very interesting. There are some topics we love to hear about. We love to hear about prophecy and how things might come to pass. But on the other hand, there are some subjects that we don't really like to hear about them. We don't talk about them very much. It's a little uncomfortable. They're what I like to call the three S's. And in fact, I'm going to speak about one of those S's today. And this thing is so unpopular that word actually leaked out I was going to talk about it today, and that's why we're about 100 people short today. Well, the three S's, the first one is shillings, which we would mean money, but of course, money and M, that wouldn't work for my alliteration here. But shillings, money. You know, there's over 2,000 verses in the Bible about money. I think it's the second most talked about subject other than love. But yet, we don't like God getting involved with our pocketbooks and how we handle our money and our attitudes, and don't hear too much about that. The other one is sex. Well, that's a pretty uncomfortable subject, and that's not talked about too much here in church. The last one might even be the worst one of all, submission. Now, if I say I'm going to talk about submission, what's your reaction? Well, if you're the typical group, here's what happens. The married men, they relax, and they say something like this. This ought to be good. Married women, they stiffen up and think, oh, not this again. And the singles, they kind of shrug their shoulders and think, doesn't apply to me. What am I going to do this afternoon? What am I going to go out and eat with? But the truth is, generally speaking, we don't hear things like, boy, he's such a submissive man, really impressive. We don't hear things like, you know, that group of singles, they're just the most submissive people you meet. They're just really marvelous. They set great examples. Popularly speaking, we don't think of submission in terms of men, in terms of single. We've tended to categorize it into one little box. The other thing that has happened is that many times it has a negative connotation. It carries with it this negative bias. Many people consider submission synonymous with things like inferior, being taken advantage of, being a doormat. But none of these things are really accurate. So where do these false concepts come from? Well, they come from the fathers of lies, the prince of the power of the air. They come from Satan the devil. It's a principle that he never learned. He never learned to be submissive. He was very discontent with his position. He wanted something more. He wasn't submissive. He became rebellious in his pride and his stubbornness and his discontent. The truth of the matter is that submission is for everyone. It's for us to learn what Satan did not. In Ephesians 5:21, you're probably familiar where it says, submitting one to another. And in 1 Peter 5:5, it says that all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and he gives grace unto the humble. When we think about it, we're faced with this issue of submission all the time, because it's such a fundamental concept as to whether or not we can make it into God's kingdom or not. God wants to make sure that we're submissive and can work with the program. We face this issue all the time. It's everywhere around us. Kids needing to be submissive to parents. Students to teachers. Employees to employers. Wives to husbands. Members to pastor. Pastor to home office. When we look around, we're faced with it all the time. Even drivers to traffic laws. You know, we're subject not only to people, but certain principles and laws that exist. But most importantly, we as God's people are supposed to be submissive to God and God's laws. And that should override everything else that we do in life. So constantly throughout life, we're asked to put on the hat of submission, to take it off over here. Maybe you walk back into the kitchen, whoever's in charge of the kitchen. Well, you might be the pastor, but you're walking over there, then you put on the submissive hat. How do you want things to operate here? And how easily and how gracefully we move back and forth between being in roles of submission and being roles of authority is to a large extent how converted we are. I think that John the Baptist set us a great example. I mean, he was kind of the kingpin, the head dog. He was in charge. And he had these people, they come to him, and one day they come to him and they say, hey, what about this guy over here, this Jesus Christ? And John's response was, he must increase, I must decrease. He had no problems with handing it over and taking a submissive role. But how easily do we do that type of thing is really important. So when we talk about submission, and in particular godly submission, what do we mean? Well, first of all, submission is not teeth-grinding endurance, like, I'll put up with this, but it's really ridiculous leadership if you ask me. It's not obedience with resentment, like, oh man, this is horrible, wait till I get in charge. It's not passive resistance either. It's not withdrawal, and it's not being weak. That's not what submission is all about. Being submissive means to yield to people, to precepts, to principles that have been placed in our lives as authorities. Godly submission means just a little bit more. It means to humbly yield in faith to people, precepts, principles that have been placed in our lives as authorities by God. The best example I can think of is Jesus Christ, who led a totally submissive life. In John 8:29, he says, "For I do the things that please him," speaking of the Father. In Mark 14:36, we read that it says, "Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take away this cup, but not as I will, but your will be done." Note that Christ humbly yielded to the Father's will. Jesus expressed his thoughts and concerns and his requests. He had no problem with he wasn't just quiet and not heard. He made his requests known, his opinions known. He did not become resentful when God the Father did not heed his request. He simply yielded to what was there. Throughout the Bible, Jesus gives us this example of humility and of being submissive. You know, when they went to capture him, he took the beating. He didn't revile back. But yet, no one would think that Jesus was a wimp, that he was a victim, that he was a doormat. He was a strong man, but he was submissive. And it's a very important lesson for us to learn. Now, there's an important component to being submissive and not getting all of the normal negative baggage that a lot of people who try to be submissive will get. And I believe that component is faith. I'd like to draw an analogy of a court situation. If I am called into court and maybe I'm going to present my case and someone's going to present their case, and while that other person is presenting their case, if I stand and say, "Hey, no, that's not right. You need to throw the book at them. They're all wrong." The judge is going to say, "Hey, quiet down. You're out of order." And if I keep it up, they'll call me in contempt of court and throw me into jail. Even if my arguments would have swayed the judge and I would have been right. I could have been right, but I'd be wrong because I was in contempt of the court. I didn't let the judge, in his own time and in his own manner, sort this case out. As Christians, it's real easy for us to break the chains of command, to go outside of our authority, outside of our realm of influence, and be, in a sense, be in contempt of court, to try and influence and make things happen, make it right, make the better decision, and all because we won't wait for the judge to set it right. And I think it's really important. You know, when we look around, all of the splits in the church, somebody wasn't willing to be submissive. I've heard so many examples, I know a better way to do the work. It doesn't matter if it's a better way or not. That's not even the issue. So are we willing to be submissive? You know, God, in talking to Saul, said, "You know, what I really desire is not burnt offerings and sacrifice, but obedience, submission. Just do what I say when I say to do it. You don't have to change the laws. You don't have to add to them. Just simply submit to God's will." Well, for us, the battle rages. We know that Jesus Christ was perfect, and he set us that example. But the battle for our minds is very real. And Satan the devil, who was discontent, who wanted to be in charge, who was rebellious, resentful, he wants us not to be submissive. And he preys on us and tries to influence us with things like our feelings. Feelings of feeling inferior, if I do this, I'm going to be taken advantage of. And he likes to get us what I call a self-talk. There's a certain type of self-talk that lends to one trying to be rebellious or not really being submissive. Now, the self-talk might go like this: "Stand up for yourself. Don't be a doormat. Are you going to let them walk all over you? It's not fair. It's just not fair. You know, I know a much better way. If they really want to get this done, they should do it this way. You know, if they make a mistake, I'm the one going to pay for it. They're not going to have to pay for it. I shouldn't have to put up with this. You know, what about my rights? I'll submit if they would only do dot, dot, dot. And so Satan uses our emotions and this type of self-talk to get us to not be submissive, or not to be submissive with our whole heart, do it with our mind and our heart, to willingly support it. God tells us to pray for those who are over us. And, you know, and interesting that when we really do submit, it makes life a lot easier. I don't have to be worried about what's happening at home office. When they ask for my opinion, I send it in. And if they don't listen, then that's between them and God, and I don't even have to worry about it. I just have to worry about my area of influence. What am I responsible for? And I can trust that God will sort it out as the great judge, and I'll just trust that he's in charge. See, God wants us to be submissive. He wants us to have that heart of submission. And he's given us a couple things to help. He's given us access to the faith of Jesus Christ. And he's also given us a different self-talk based on the Bible. That self-talk might go like this. Trust in God. He's in control. Not my will, but God's will be done. Demotion at the hands of man sets one up for promotion at the hands of God. Work as though I'm working for God. All things work together for good. Them that trust God are called according to his purpose. Now, we don't have time to go into it. There are two areas that are closely related to this. One, people always wonder, well, isn't there a time where you wouldn't submit? And the other thing is, well, what about when you're in charge or you have a certain amount of authority or power? What do you do? And the answers to both those questions are really one and the same. We submit to God as the higher authority. So if you're given power over whatever little area, you can't just go and do what you want so it pleases you. You have to be submissive to God and his ways. So any decision you might make, if you were given a power or authority, would have to be done out of love in conjunction with those principles. Trying to do, and again, so you're just being submissive, whatever role you have. And as far as that, sometimes there is a conflict between people and should I submit to them, the only time you don't do that is when it's in conflict with God's laws. You know, that's why we left a formal association, because they started breaking down the laws of God and the Ten Commandments. So that's the reason why we did it. But we didn't do it out of rebellion. We did it out of submission to the higher plane, which is God, submission to him and his laws. So in conclusion, we'll just simply state that submission is for everyone. And it has a component of faith when we do it God's way. And if we learn the lesson of submission, then our future will be like Jesus Christ and not like Satan the devil's.